I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
This morning's scripture reading is from James, the third chapter, verses 1 through 12. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for you know that we who teach shall be judged with greater strictness. For we all make many mistakes, and if anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. If we put bits into the mouths of horses and they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at the ships also. They are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and brackish? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. May God add His blessing and understanding to the reading of His Word.
Thank you, Stan. In this scripture that Stan just read, can you imagine how embarrassing it would be if we had to stand up and say what we believed based on our game plan for life? For example, are you familiar with the Apostles' Creed? For those of you who come from other denominations, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever, you may have done the Apostles' Creed. Let me share that creed with you now. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And it ends with Amen. Now please listen as we look at what many hear when words such as these are spoken in Christianity. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, who is not worthy of me taking 2 hours a week out of my schedule to pray or to talk to or attend church. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, who has no right to tell me how to live my life after I get out of church. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, but He should not expect me to make any kind of similar sacrifice on His behalf. I would tell off who I want to tell off, and I will give when I feel like giving. If I do not want to do my part, then others just have to take up the slack for me, whether they want to or not. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead, with me being the exception, because He knows my heart. I intend to one day get serious about serving God. But until then, He should not judge me. If I prefer gossip over sharing the Word of God, that's my business. Now, here's what we believe as disciples of Christ. If you're new to disciples, you're going to like this because it's going to tell you who we are. For those of you who have never heard this before, this is our confession because we're a people that do not believe in creeds. That's what we confess. There's no creed but Christ. So this is our confession as disciples. As members of the Christian church, we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim him Lord and Savior of the world. In Christ's name and by his grace, we accept our mission of witness and service to all people. We rejoice in God, maker of heaven and earth, and in God's covenant of love, which binds us to God and to one another. Through baptism into Christ, we enter into newness of life and are made one with the whole people of God. In the communion of the Holy Spirit, we are joined together in discipleship and in obedience to Christ. At the table of the Lord, we celebrate with thanksgiving the saving acts and presence of Christ. Within the universal church, we receive the gift of ministry in the light of Scripture. In the bonds of Christian faith, we yield ourselves to God that we may serve the one whose kingdom has no end. Blessing, glory, and honor be to God forever. Amen. That's who disciples are. Now, James says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. When we speak against these precepts of the disciples, or even if it's the Apostles' Creed, when we act in a manner contrary to what we say we believe as disciples, we are the bit, the small rudder trying to direct people away from the true meaning of being a disciple. How many churches have been destroyed by the small fire of gossip, by the tongue? How many lives have been destroyed by the tongue that chooses the path of destruction through gossip? James says, and the tongue is fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. How many of you remember Lee Iacocca? You remember when he headed up Chrysler, they brought him on? Lee Iacocca tells the story of when he first went to Chrysler. He was new, and he had a run-in with an old board member who was afraid of change. Lee had spoken to the board about certain divisions moving to a four-day work week, 10 hours a day. The difficult board member said, then they won't be full-time. Lee asked why he thought that, and the board member said, everyone knows a work week is a five-day week. Mr. Iacocca said, sir, they are still working 40 hours just in a four-day period. Then we're talking about making them part-time. Lee smiled, looked at the other board members pleadingly, but no one would confront the old man. They just smiled. Lee turned to face the man again and started to speak, but before he could, the old man said, I don't care what anybody says, they won't be full-time. Lee did not mention the change again until the old man passed away 17 months later. He knew that the tongue of fire could destroy, and he had just started with the company. And he didn't want to have this kind of confrontation right off the bat. After he left Chrysler, he said, no one board member would raise his voice to the old man. If just one had had the nerve to speak up, to stand against him, many good things could have been accomplished 17 months earlier. Oftentimes we allow ourselves to stand mute in decisive times where speaking up would prevent grief and pain. Had those who stood with Jesus on Palm Sunday stood with him when Pontius Pilate offered life, who knows what may have happened? But God in his infinite wisdom knew human nature. He knew we, human beings, would stand mute and let his only son die. When someone spreads gossip, instead of saying, "That is not true, you need to be quiet or I'll tell everyone what you're doing," we either stand silent or we laugh and try to make light of it. James says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison." In his book, Imagine Your Life Without Fear, Max Lucado gives some significant insight when he says, "Questions can make hermits out of us, driving us into hiding. Yet the cave has no answers. Christ distributes courage through community. He dissipates doubts through fellowship. He never deposits all knowledge in one person, but distributes pieces of the jigsaw puzzle to many. When you interlock your understanding with mine and we share our discoveries, when we mix, mingle, confess, and pray, Christ speaks." Perhaps you've heard the phrase, "turn a blind eye," which means to ignore undesirable information. The saying comes from a 19th century British naval battle. On April 2nd, 1801, during the Battle of Copenhagen, the British fleet was attacking the combined navies of Denmark and Norway. Three British ships ran aground, so the Admiral Hyde Parker decided that the fire of battle was too hot to oppose. So Admiral Parker sent an order through signal flags that the younger Admiral Horatio Nelson should discontinue action and withdraw. When Nelson heard his own signalman relay the order, he pretended not to hear him. Mesmerized by the thrill of battle, Nelson had no intention of obeying the order. He turned to his captain and said, "This day may be the last for us at any moment," even as a Danish cannonball struck his ship's main mast, scattering splinters all around him. This was typical of Nelson's stubborn and aggressive approach to war. In fact, he had already lost sight in his right eye in a previous battle. So when pressed again to respond to Parker's order, Nelson told his flag captain, Thomas Foley, "You know, Foley, I only have one eye. I have the right to be blind sometimes." And then Nelson held up his telescope to his blind eye and said, "I really do not see the signal." Sometimes we are all like Nelson, with one good eye and one blind eye. And when the opportunity comes to put out a fire, small or large, we cover the good eye and we pretend that the bad is not happening. But that's not what Jesus calls us to do. And James calls us to use our good eye. He says, "With the tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and brackish? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more than salt water can yield fresh." What James is telling us is oftentimes in the church, we stand by and we watch people destroy our church. It may be in our workplace. It may be anywhere. But anytime we allow people to use that fire in their tongue and not stand up and say something for fear of a confrontation, we're allowing the fire to grow. And when we allow that fire to grow, my friends, we're allowing destruction. We can only turn to California today to see how fire spreads. I was listening this morning as they talked about a fire that started out on a couple of acres. It's now over 25 acres, 25,000 acres big. There's yet another one that's over 100,000 acres big, and it started with a small fire. So God says to us, "I'm calling you to be my disciple." And what I'm calling you to do is to be a good person, an honest person. Stand up. Stand up for the faith. Be the person who says, that's not right. Be the person who's willing to put out the fire before it spreads and destroys everything you have. So again, with the tongue, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. What I ask is this day we take that oath, that we remember who we are as disciples. Whatever denomination you may be, if you're visiting today, remember that your church has a creed. It has a confession of faith. It has something that says we are children of God, and we are to take that seriously, seriously, so that we are not the ones who allow small things to become big things and to become destructive. This is the day in which we say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you this day, we know that oftentimes we fail to speak up when we should be saying something. We should be defending the faith. We should be defending your honor. And we should not allow destruction within your church, within your congregation, within our own bodies. Be with us. Fill us with your Spirit, that we may see what is right, what is wrong, and speak up, that you may be glorified. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.